Testing 1, 2, 3, everybody okay? Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's nice to see people in church today. Welcome back, Akiko-san. Nice to see you. And go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. It's there in your bulletin. Oh, my mask, yeah. It's in your bulletin. But there's actually only a small portion. So please have your Bible or Bible app open. And the part that we're going to read today together is from chapter 6. So in your bulletin, in chapter 6, verses 25 through 27, we'll go ahead and read that together. So I'll start from verse 25, and then please join me at verse 26. This is Daniel chapter 6, starting from verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly." And then let's read together from the screen. Verse 26, the yellow portion. "I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end." Verse 27. "He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." The very word of God. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, fill our minds with your truth and our hearts with your love. So, we're going to start today a short series on the book of Daniel, and there'll be three parts. Today is the first part. And typically in church, when you study or learn about Daniel, you learn about three famous episodes. And in Sunday school or in children's Bible study, usually one story, one episode is one Sunday. But today we're going to cover three episodes in one Sunday in 30 minutes, I hope. So that's the plan. So we're going to look at story number one, and the idea is coming from the chains. The second story is from chapter 3, coming through the fire. And then finally, the third story, chapter 6, is in the lion's den. And I hope that we will be fed and encouraged and established in our faith in these things. Now, in your bulletin, there are three illustrations from the Bible Project video. And you can see there that each number is from the chapter in the book of Daniel. I highly recommend, if you have 8 minutes, open YouTube and watch something worth watching for once. And it's the explainer video of the book of Daniel. So one thing I want to ask you, speaking of YouTube, I waste time on YouTube because I'm a terrible person. And one of the things is TikTok on there. And recently there's a popular trend on TikTok, which is tell me what you blank without telling me that you blank, right? For example, somebody says, "Tell me you are from California," without telling me you are from California. And so in the video, the person doesn't say, I'm from California. Instead, they go to the beach. They show you the beach, or they go to In-N-Out Hamburgers, and they show you the famous restaurant there. Or they take you to Disneyland, and they show you putting on the Mickey Mouse hat, right? They don't say, I'm from California. Or if I ask you, tell me you're Japanese, without telling me you're Japanese, maybe you'll open your phone and you show me pictures of, I don't know, sushi, or sakura, or you drinking tea or eating a bento, right? Or bowing deeply. I don't know. But you don't say, I'm Japanese. You show that you're Japanese, right? So there are three stories here. And they're stories to help us understand we don't tell people we believe in God. We show people we believe in God. We don't tell people I love you. We show them that we love you. We love them. And so that's three stories that show us how to act during testing, temptation, trial, difficulty. Life is not easy, and life is full of challenge and difficulty and pain. And so in the darkness, depression, the delay, the sadness, the guilt, how do you show God your faithfulness? How do you show God that you will believe and that you are His child? So that's what these three stories are for. Now, the story behind the story. I want to talk about two words, functioning and flourishing. Function means, in Nihongo, 機能する、起動する, but the word there would be probably 生きてる, to just live. In life, there's bios, right? To just live, to breathe, to function, to get up, go to work, put food in your mouth, go back to sleep, and get up the next day, do this. That's functioning. That's just living. But God did not make us just to function. God created us to flourish. And flourishing, something like yutakani, seikatsu dekiru, to have a life of abundance, joy, peace, gladness, beauty. That's flourishing, okay? So there's functioning, like a flower that gives off pollen and dies at the end of a week. Or there's flourishing, like a tree that grows and has branches and birds come in and they take shelter. And it bears fruit, and people can enjoy the shade. That's flourishing. God created us to live life, and life abundantly. In community with each other, and with fellowship with God. That's what the story behind the story is. Now, here's the problem. There's another kind of flourishing that is offered to us, not by God, but from the world. And when I say the world, I mean the way that the world values certain things, the way that the world wants us to live in a way that looks like success, security, position and power. It looks like, oh yeah, the good life. But in reality, it leads to death. I've been reading Proverbs in the last 2 weeks. There is a way that seems right to a person. But in the end, it leads to death. So we think this way leads to life, flourishing, happiness. It's the way that the world offers to us. But actually, there's another way that God is offering to us. It looks like it leads to death. But the reality is, God says, you go through the death. You go through the fire. You go through the chains. You go through the darkness. And on the other side is life abundant. That's the story behind the stories, okay? So we're going to go each one, 5 minutes each. How many of you are familiar with these stories? Just raise your hand. You know the stories. You're familiar. Great. Now the other ones, if you're not familiar, okay, today you get to learn amazing stories. And I'm so happy that I can tell you these stories. Okay, so Daniel chapter 1, here's the setting. Daniel is a young man. This is 597 BC when his hometown, the city of Jerusalem, is conquered by the kingdom of Babylon. And so Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that's Israel, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And then I skip down to verse 3. Some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. This picture is not in your bulletin, but it's a background picture. It shows the nobles, the people who are in the court of the king. They are being taken out of Jerusalem. And because they have a higher aptitude for learning and they have a higher culture and blah, 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 they get to live in the palace or under the guard of the new king. They're going to be trained the language, the literature of Babylon. My student, Tamaki, is here. When I entered his school, our school, my school is... This is not a boast. It sounds like a brag, but trust me. My school is a high-level, all-boys school. If you're rich and have money, you can send your son there. That's all it is, okay? And it's hard to get in. There's a high-level test you have to pass. And so when I first entered that school, it was like, wow, all of the Daniels and the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego's are here in my school. That's pressure, right? And they're there for 6 years. Here, they're here for 3 years, right? And when they graduate, they can become, you know, governors and politicians and leaders and presidents and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so here's what happens. They're in this kind of place. And at verse 8, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Please test your servants. Oh, so Daniel goes to the guard. And in verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. And verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Now, they became vegetarians. And now they're healthier. Their skin is better, you know. And they pass the physical tests. So verse 18. At the end of the time set, the king talked with them. He found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they entered the king's service. Now they graduated. Verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Here's the story. Jewish boys in a foreign country. They're going to be trained in the education of the foreign king. They are going to be given the food of the foreign kingdom. But because they're Jewish, they have a way of eating that's very specific. Not only that, but please understand, in ancient custom, oftentimes when you eat meat, especially meat, pork, beef, lamb, whatever it is, the animal that's eaten is often given to a god as a sacrifice. And after it's been sacrificed to that god as a thank offering or a vow or some kind of way, it's offered to the god of Babylon, and then it's given to the house, the home, for meals. The king, it's put on the king's table. And so the Jewish boys, they knew, if I eat this food that's been offered to a god, not my god, that's wrong with, that's that I can't live with that. That goes against who I am. And so Daniel and his friends, they say, if there is a way not to eat this food sacrificed and offered to another god, God help us. So they found a way. And in fact, it worked so well that the results were better than all the other kids who were eating from that table. Now, please understand, this is not about becoming a vegan or going on a plant-based diet, okay? Now, me and Lord Will, we do that. We do the plant-based diet. I don't eat as much meat as I used to. I eat a lot of grains, a lot of beans, a lot of lentils, okay? A lot of fiber and very little meat, just eggs and a lot of fish. I'm not all that much healthier than those of you who eat beef and meat, okay? This is not about that. This is about being faithful to your identity as a follower and worshiper of God and what happened as a result. Okay, that's data point number one. Data point number two, okay? Daniel chapter 3. Another long story. I'll give you the overview. Daniel chapter 3, the three friends, okay? Mishael, Hananiah, Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. So the king Nebuchadnezzar, he erects a large golden statue because he's the king. And at the dedication of this statue, they're going to play music. They're going to have a big celebration. And so there's a proclamation. We're going to erect the statue. We're going to play flutes, harps, tambourines, drums, music of all kinds. And when the music starts, you bow your head. You get on your knees. You worship the statue. Now, everybody knows the statue is just a statue. But everybody also knows the statue is a symbol. Yesterday I went to my son's Undokai sports festival at his school. It was a very interesting point in the festival. At the very beginning, there's the speeches, the opening ceremony, the kaikaishiki, right? And at one point, everybody's sitting, but then the host says, everyone, please stand. I said, what's this? And they said, we're going to raise the flag of Japan. And so the music starts. Everybody stands up. And as everybody's watching, the da na 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 na, right? And then the flag is going up. Nobody's bowing or worshiping, but people are paying respect to the flag of Japan, right? Just to give proper respect. In the story of Daniel, the statue goes up, the music begins, and everybody understands we're paying respect, we're trying to honor, we're giving our worship, we're giving our service to this country, to this Babylon kingdom, empire. Not just the king, but to the whole system, government, reign, and rule of this empire. That's what this story is, okay? And the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when everybody starts and everybody bows, they're like this. Right? They're not bowing. It's like the nail that sticks up from the ground, right? What's the proverb? Yeah, the one that sticks up is the one that's hammered down. It's a Japanese proverb. I don't know the Nihongo. I know that. I know the English. I need the Nihongo. All right. Yeah. So they're like the three derukugiru. There's three of them, and they're just standing up. And so the governors, the leaders, say they need to be hammered down. And so the king says, all right, is it true? Did you come? Did you not bow? They said, yeah, all right, you're going to go in the fire. And so Nebuchadnezzar, verse 19, chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, 20 and usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, throw them into the blazing furnace. Now watch the words in the next verse. These three men, firmly tied, fell. Chotomate. In verse 20, it says, throw them. Verse 23, they fell into the furnace. What happened? The people who were holding them, it was so hot in the furnace, they caught fire. And they burned and fell in. And as they're falling in, the three men also fell in. Interesting story. 24, the king Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? And they replied, certainly, your majesty. Verse 25, he said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. 3 men thrown into the fire. The king looks and sees 4. And the one of them looks like an angel. Looks like a divine, supernatural, heavenly being. Huh? What's happening there? So Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening, blazing furnace, and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. And they came out. There was no burn, no smoke, nothing. And in verse 28, chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Then the result, verse 30. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Please remember what happened to Daniel, chapter 1. At the end of the episode, Daniel 1, and Daniel was promoted. Look what happened in episode 2. At the end of the episode, the three friends are promoted. They refused to give their life and their service to the kingdom and the king. And they went through death. And at the end of the death, through the other side, they were promoted. They flourished. That's data point number two. Finally, data point number three. Maybe 50, 60, 70 years later, Babylon is overthrown. A new kingdom comes. It's Mede or Persia. Medes before the Persians. So there's a new king named Darius. Daniel is older. He's still in the government. He's one of the top government officials. In fact, maybe he's like a prime minister, you could say. He's one of the top. And he's known for his reputation of being straight. Not crooked. He doesn't take bribes. He's not like, two-faced or anything. He's a good politician, good governor, a good leader. And because of that, all the other corrupt officials and government leaders, they want to take him down. Okay? So, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. So King Darius put the decree in writing. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. It was a trap. These men knew Daniel would always be praying to his God. They knew it. So they made a fake law signed by the king in order to trap Daniel so that they can remove him from power. It's politics as usual. So they bring Daniel to the king. The king says, Daniel, is it true? Daniel says, yes, you know it's true. The king says, well, I have to put you in the lion's den. That's the law. He doesn't want to. He admires and respects Daniel, but he has to. It's the law. He signed it. He puts Daniel into the lion's den, closes the cover, puts the seal of the king, puts the seal of all the administrators. There's no coming out. He says, Daniel, may your God protect you. He goes to his palace. He cannot sleep. He's tossing and turning, worried about Daniel. The next morning, he gets up. He calls out to Daniel. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel, are you okay? Are you still alive? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. May God send, my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language, in every tongue, in all the earth, and that's what we read today. So, three stories of people who worship God showing that they don't say they're faithful. They don't say they worship Yahweh. They show they worship Yahweh. And the result was they were exalted, they were promoted. And not only that, but please look. It says all of the people were blessed through them. All of the people of the kingdoms, all of the languages had to acknowledge and look at the God that Daniel and his friends worshiped. Flourishing. Flourishing. Okay, so those are the three data points, the three stories. And now we're not working. Okay. So what do we do with these? I want to start with the last one first, because I think the first two stories we can relate to much better. But please look at that sixth story, okay? We are looking at a story where people were against Daniel. They were enemies. They were looking to destroy him, literally. They wanted him dead. We don't have that. We're in Japan. Christians don't face life-threatening persecution. There's no Islamic terrorist or extremist trying to capture us. There's no secret police like in China trying to put us in prison. But we do have an enemy, spiritual, supernatural, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us dead because of who we worship. He wants us in the mouth of the lion because of who we follow. So the question is, how do you be faithful? How do you stay true to Jesus Christ in the den of the lion? Peter, the disciple of Jesus, says, your enemy wanders around the earth like a lion waiting to devour you. How do we escape that? How do we stay true to Jesus Christ? Question number one. Now, question number two. Here are the two episodes where the boys have a choice what to eat, who to bow to. This is something we can relate to here in Japan. Because the first story of the food, we live in Japan, top five economy in the world. Food is not a problem. Money is not a big problem. And internet is not a problem. Wi-Fi is not a problem. We have access to so much of what this world can give us to fill our stomachs, to satisfy our flesh. How do we stay faithful to Jesus Christ in a world, in a country, in an environment, in a society that wants us to satisfy ourselves? How do we do it? How do we keep from compromising? How do we keep from capitulating? How do we do it? All right. Well, here's the good news, okay? Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ, he's in the desert. He's in the wilderness. He's been fasting for 40 days, no food, no drink. The devil comes and says, "Oh, Jesus, you're the Son of God? You're hungry? Just have some bread. Tell these stones to become bread. You have the power. Satisfy your stomach. Satisfy your hunger. Satisfy your flesh." What does Jesus say? "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Satan, you have a way for me to satisfy myself. And it will feel good. It will fill up my flesh. But my work, my life is not just for food. My stomach is not for food. My work is to do the will of him who sent me. There is a hunger that this world cannot satisfy. There is a hunger that only God himself can fulfill. And as a Christian, as a believer, we have to understand, we have the power to say no to the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified their flesh along with their passions and desires. As we live by the Spirit, we keep in step by the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I know the internet has so much for your flesh. The Wi-Fi makes available to you everything that you can do to satisfy your flesh desires. But his divine power has given us everything we need to live a godly life. And through these, we can participate in his divine energy, escaping the corruption of the world, its desires and its flesh. All I'm saying is this: we follow Jesus Christ, and we can say no to everything that the world can offer, because it leads to death. Number two, Jesus Christ, he's in the desert, 40 days, no food, no water. The devil comes to him and he says, "This whole world is mine. Just bow your knee and I'll give it all to you." Jesus says, "Satan, it says in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 13, you will worship Yahweh and Yahweh alone." And at that point, the devil left him. My son, my third son, he's a great soccer player. He's very good. Right now, he's the captain of his grade. And man, they have games every weekend, every single Saturday, every single holiday, every single weekend. We have a game in this neighborhood, a game at that school, a game against that. And the reason is, if you want to get good, if you want to be strong, you have to practice, you have to play, you have renshujiais, you have scrimmages, you have tournaments, blah, 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 blah. All right, we'll go, we'll take you. Sometimes you'll miss church. So 2 weeks from now, November 13th, Sunday, the Japanese service, they'll have the Kodomo Shukufuku Kai. Shukufuku Shiki. It's the Sunday where our church blesses the children in the church. And so the families bring the children to church so that we can pray for them, right? So what do? Me and Naomi. He has a game that Sunday, a very important game against a very strong team. This is his chance. So we're going, this is our family. This is our community. We are blessed by God through this church. Not only that, God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to our community through this church. So what is our value? What do we worship? Who do we serve? So we had to make a decision. You know, you all know, you have to make the decision too. What do you value? Who will you serve? What's being offered to you that you know it's offered by the world and not by God? And what choice do you make? Well, you go to Jesus Christ. You see how he worked. You see how he handled Satan. I want to say one thing. A lot of preachers and a lot of churches, they want to use these stories to say, if you have faith, if you believe enough, if you do the right thing, God will add to you. God will bless you. God will promote you. God will make you the head and not the tail. God is here to give you all these wonderful things in the world if you will still fall. And that's half of the picture. But please look what they did first. It wasn't praying, God, make me more powerful. God, give me better health. They weren't praying for that. They weren't praying, God, I want new things. I want better things. I want better position. And more. They weren't praying for that. You know what they did? They just prayed with what they had. They were faithful with the little bit that they had. You see, your testing of your faith is not for you to have more. It's not what it is. The testing of your faith is to see what you can do with what you have. Can God trust you with just a little bit with what you have now? Can God trust you as a single person without a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Can God trust you as a husband and a wife without children? Can God trust you as a worker in an office that's terrible, in an environment that's toxic? Can God trust you? Because if you can show God that you can be trusted, God will be happy, happy to show his faithfulness to you. It's not about getting more. It's not about getting better or getting higher or being promoted. It's about being trustworthy, being faithful, being loyal to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ was loyal to you. This is the end. Jesus Christ had everything. He was the King of heaven. He is the King. He had the throne. He had the glory. All the angels. He took it all off. He set it all aside. He became 100% human being. And he says, for you, I will give it all away. I will set it all aside. I will go to the cross, and I will give my life for yours. My death for your life. If you will follow me, if you will deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow Jesus, eternal life, abundant life, life with God, the presence of God, the power of God, the salvation of God is through the fire, through the lion's den. It's there. So that's a challenge. That's a challenge. There's a challenge, and then there's the comfort. Some of you are in the fire now. Some of you, you can see the teeth of the lion about to close on your head. Remember what the boy said? An angel was there with me. Remember what the king said? I saw an angel in the fire. These stories are to show you that in the fire, in the chains, in the lion's den, God is with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I know the lions are right there. But if you will just turn this way, you will see, I'm right here. I'm closing their mouth. I know the fire is all around you. You're sweating, it's hot, and those around you, they're falling. But if you will just look over here, you will see Jesus standing right there in the fire with you. And if he's with you, you're going to get through. If he's with you, you'll see the light of the next day. You're here. So that's the good news. That's the gospel. There is something this world wants to offer you. It leads to death. The good news is you don't have to take what the world gives. The good news is Jesus offers you something much greater, something much more beautiful, something much more wonderful. Will you take what God offers to you? Jesus offers himself. He gives his life for you. He gives his love for you. Show him. Don't tell him. Show him that you love him. Let's pray. So, Father, for the ones who can hear, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear your voice calling out to them. The challenge to be faithful, but also the comfort of your presence. Oh God, help us to be faithful to you in the midst of testing and trial. Oh God, help us hear your voice in the fire and in the darkness so that we can still be faithful. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.